This morning, I've entitled my message, Blessed Are the Prepared. Blessed Are the Prepared. And I have 3 points, and I want to tell you what they are right at the beginning of my message. Number one, God wants to bless us. He does. He just wants to bless us. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, and Paul quotes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And then the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no change." And so God wants to bless us. Point number two, in most cases, he has us prepare for the blessing. He wants to bless us, but in most cases, he asks us to do something to prepare for the blessing that he wants to give us. And then point number three, as he blesses us, he usually gives us more than we've asked or more than we expect. So, number one, God wants to bless us. Number two, he usually asks us to do something to prepare to receive the blessing. And then point number three, as he blesses us, he usually gives us more than we've asked for or more than we expect that for him to give us. Now, in the book of 2 Kings, in chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5, there's the accounts of 3 different stories that illustrate this truth. All 3 of them illustrate this truth. I want to quickly tell you those stories. And again, they're not made-up stories. They're actual events that happen in the lives of actual people, people just like us. But I want to tell you those three stories and show you how those three things are true in each of those stories. And then I want to come back and make the application to today. In 2 Kings chapter 3, we read a couple of verses from that story. It's the story of water for Israel's army. The king of Israel and the king of Judah and the king of Edom got together and they were going to go fight the king of Moab. The kingdom of Israel was split at that time, so you had the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, and the northern, or I think I got it backwards, I can never remember, southern, northern, but the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, they were split. And again, they got together with the kingdom of Edom, and they were going to fight Moab. And they had to go on a 7-day journey through the wilderness, through the desert, to get to Moab. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, "And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them." In other words, this great host of people, this army of these three kingdoms, and all their animals that they took with them, they were making this journey. They hoped to find an oasis along the way, but every oasis they came to was out of water, and at the end of 7 days, they were pretty thirsty. At the end of 7 days, they needed a blessing from God. They needed water for them to drink and for their animals to drink. And the king of Judah, who was a man by the name of Jehoshaphat, asked the question of all the servants, and he said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? If we could go to a prophet of God, maybe he could help us. Maybe he could get a blessing from God, which we need water. If we went to the prophet, he could help us." And one of the servants said, "Hey, Elisha, the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah, the servant of Elijah, Elisha is just down here a little ways." And so these three kings went to Elisha and they said, "Elisha, we need a blessing from God. We need water." And here's what Elisha said. He said, "Okay, God wants to bless you, but you have to prepare for it. You have to get ready for it." And he said this, and Adam read it a moment ago. He said, "Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, nor shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast." Now, I don't know about you, but if you put yourself in the place of those kings, those instructions don't make much sense to me. They were out in the middle of the desert. There wasn't a lake nearby. There wasn't a river nearby. It was dry, arid ground. And God said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just dig a bunch of ditches." And it's not going to rain, and the wind's not going to blow, but I am going to fill this valley with water. There's going to be water for you and for all of your animals. And again, the instructions don't make sense. They go against common sense. They go against any reasoning that man can come up with. But if we trust God, and if we are obedient to what God tells us to do, He will give us what we need. He will bless us. And in verse 20 of that same chapter, it says, "And it came to pass in the morning, there came water, and the country was filled with water." Every one of those ditches that those three kings dug, every single one of them was filled to overflowing with water. God gave them the blessing that they need. And by the way, like He always or usually does, He gave them more than they asked for. All they wanted was water for them to drink and for their animals to drink. And He gave them all of that. But it was morning time, and Moab heard that these three kings came up to fight against him. And so Moab raised, the army of Moab got together, and they came to this place where these three armies were. And I took English. I just don't remember very much. And Moab came to this valley where these three armies were, and it was early in the morning, and there wasn't any water supposed to be in that valley, but there was a ton of water there because God filled up every ditch. And the sun shone off of that water, you know, early in the morning when it's just coming up, and the king of Moab said, "Those guys have killed each other. Those armies must have started fighting because the valley's full of blood." And so they marched into that valley expecting an easy victory. I mean, they didn't even have their swords drawn and their shields were down at their side. They said, "Boy, this is going to be so easy. They've killed each other." And they walked into that valley, and the king, three kings, the king of Judah and the king of Israel and the king of Eden rose up, and the Bible says defeated the army of Moab because God gave them an extra blessing when he gave them the water. Not only did He give them water for them and their animals to drink, He used that water to defeat the nation of Moab. God wants to bless us, but usually He asks us to prepare. In this case, it was to dig ditches. And He not only gives us what we need, but He gives us more than we need. He defeated the army of Moab. 2 Kings chapter 4, there's another story that makes the same three points. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read about a widow. Her husband had been a godly man. The Bible says that he feared the Lord. He died, left her in debt. And the Bible says that the people that they owed money to were come now to take her two sons as slaves to pay the debt. And like the armies of Israel in the previous chapter, this woman came to the prophet Elisha. And she said, "Elisha, I need a blessing from God. I need somehow to pay my debt." And Elisha says, "Okay, God wants to bless you, but you have to prepare for the blessing. What do you got in the house?" And the widow says, "I just got a little pot of oil. That's all I got, just a little pot of oil." And Elisha said, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. Here's what God wants you to do to prepare for this blessing. I want you to go to all your friends. I want you to go to all your neighbors, and I want you to borrow empty vessels. Empty pots, empty pans, empty vases. Just borrow as many empty vessels as you can. And when you get them, you and your two sons go into the house and take that little pot of oil that you've got and pour it into those empty vessels." Now again, I don't know about you, but those instructions don't make much sense to me. I mean, this little widow lady could say, "Well, why do I need to borrow empty vessels? The pot that I got holds all the oil that I got. I mean, if I take my pot of oil and pour it into another pot, then that pot will be full and my pot will be empty. And that will be it. Why do I need to borrow all these empty vessels?" And again, if we're just obedient to what God tells us to do and trust Him that He knows what He's doing, He will bless us. This widow went out to all her neighbors and friends and borrowed a bunch of pots. She brought them in and she took her little pot of oil and she began to pour that oil into the empty vessels that she borrowed. And the Bible says, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 6, "And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more." Mom, there ain't no more. You filled every single one of them up. Everyone that she borrowed, every pot, every pan, every vase, every jug, every vessel that she borrowed, God filled up with oil. She came back to Elisha, and Elisha said, "Okay, go sell the oil and pay your debts." But like God usually does, he usually gives us an extra blessing, because Elisha said this. He said, "Not sell the oil and pay your debts, and then live you and your two sons on the rest of it." I mean, all she wanted was some way to pay her debts. All she wanted was some way to keep the bond or these creditors from coming and taking her two sons as slaves. And God said, "Hey, I'll bless you with that. I'll do more than that. I'll not only give you enough oil to pay your debts, I'll give you enough oil so that you can sell it and live you and your two sons the rest of your life on what you get." God wants to bless us. But he asks us, in some cases, to prepare for the blessing. And as he usually does, he blesses us more than we ask. Third example, 2 Kings chapter 5. We've been there a lot. I preached from 2 Kings chapter 5 many times over the years. And so it's a familiar story. We meet a man named Naaman. He was a captain in the Syrian army. A great man, an honorable man, a mighty man of valor. But he was a leper. He had this little Jewish girl as a slave who waited on his wife. And she said, "Master, if you would go to the prophet in Israel, he will cure you of your leprosy." This prophet again was Elisha. And Naaman came to Elisha and he said this, "I need a blessing. I need to be cured of this leprosy." Elisha said, "Okay, Naaman, God wants to bless you, but you got to prepare for the blessing. I want you to go down to the Jordan River and I want you to dip 7 times. And by the way, let me just tell you at the outset, it wasn't the Jordan River that cured Naaman of his leprosy. It was God in heaven that cured Naaman of his leprosy. He had to prepare for the blessing, and his preparation was to trust and be obedient to God when God said, "Okay, I want to bless you. I want to cure you of your leprosy, but you got to go dip yourself 7 times in Jordan River." Now again, the instructions didn't make much sense. The Jordan River is a muddy, dirty river. And if you had leprosy, which is a disease that opens up sores on your body, the last thing that you want to do is get into a dirty, muddy river. In fact, Naaman said, "Why should I go dip myself in that dirty river? The rivers back home are a lot cleaner. I mean, the water's clean and pure and fresh. And for me to go dip myself in this muddy, dirty river, what good's that going to do?" But he trusted God, with a little help from one of his servants. And he was obedient to God. And he went and dipped himself 7 times in the river. And here's what the Bible says. "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean." I want to tell you this morning, every leopard sore that Naaman had on his body, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, every one of those sores were healed by the God in heaven because Naaman prepared for the blessing. But like God usually does, he gave Naaman more than he asked for. Because not only did Naaman's leprosy get cured, but he came away knowing that the Lord was God. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15, "Behold," this is Naaman talking, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." But in Israel. God wants to bless us. He usually asks us to prepare to receive the blessing. And he usually gives us more than we ask for. Now here's my application. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God wants to bless you. The blessing that He wants to give you is to keep you out of hell. Because you see, as somebody that doesn't know Christ as your Savior, that's where you're headed. The wages of sin is death, separation from God in that place called hell. But God wants to bless you. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should come to know Jesus. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. So He wants to bless you, you that are here this morning and not saved. But He wants you to prepare to receive the blessing. Say, what do I need to do to prepare to receive the blessing of avoiding hell? God made it real simple. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to believe that Jesus is my Son. I want you to believe that when He went to the cross of Calvary, He died to pay for each of one of your sins. And I want you to believe that if you believe in Him as my Son, as the payment for your sins, I will keep you out of hell. Now, just like the armies of Israel, and just like the widow, and just like Naaman, those instructions don't make much sense. And most people, when they hear the instructions from God about what we need to do to prepare to receive the blessing of salvation, they say this, there must be a catch. There's got to be more to it than this. You mean all I got to do to get the blessing from God to stay out of hell is to believe in Jesus? No, no, no. There's got to be more than that. I'm sure, preacher, you're going to tell me later on that I got to become a Baptist. And I got to get baptized. And I got to join the church. And I got to start tithing. There ain't nothing free in this world. There's a catch to anything. In fact, my dad taught me, if somebody says there's something for free, watch out, because they're trying to get you. And that's how the world thinks. And when we say, look, all you got to do to avoid hell, all you got to do to be blessed by God and escape that condemnation is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all there is. There ain't no catch. There's nothing else that needs to be added to it. In fact, if you add anything to it, you've missed the boat. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's not by the Baptist church. It's not by the baptistry. It's not by doing the things that the church does. All those things are good, but that's not what gets you into heaven. The Philippian jailer, hundreds of years ago, asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And the answer that they gave that Philippian jailer hundreds of years ago is the same answer that works today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And, like God usually does, He always gives us an extra blessing. I mean, we prepare ourselves by believing on Jesus Christ. We stay out of hell, but there's something better that comes along with us. Lauren, you need to rejoice in this fact this morning. We get to go to heaven where your daddy is this morning. We get to go be with Jesus. We need to go walk that, get to go walk that street of gold, go through that gate of pearl, and be with our Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, getting out of hell is the blessing that God gives us when we prepare by believing on Jesus, but getting to go to heaven is a whole lot of extra blessing that He gives us. So if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's as simple as I've made it out to be this morning. I am not making this up. I am telling you what are on the pages of this book. It is not turning over a new leaf. It is not making yourself better. It is simply trusting what God said and being obedient to Him when He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, in just a second, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to invite you to come and receive Jesus as your Savior. Now, I know many of you here this morning, you're already saved. There's been a time in your life where you did exactly what I was talking about. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. You put your trust in Him. You're on your way to heaven this morning. You don't have to fear hell. Hell, you're on your way to heaven. I got news for you. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this, I am come that they might have life, eternal life, life in heaven, and that they might have it more abundantly. God wants you to have an abundant life. Now, what do you need to do? You need to prepare. How do you prepare to get that abundant life? You do what God says. Let me ask you, what do you need this morning? What do you need? Do you have children that are on the wrong path? You need a blessing from God. Are your finances all messed up? You need a blessing from God. Are you feeling bad because your body's just wore out and falling apart? You need a blessing from God. Are you depressed or discouraged about something? You need a blessing from God. What I need to do? These stories are not put in the Bible just to entertain us. They're put in the Bible to teach us. God wants to bless us, but we have to prepare. And I will guarantee you something this morning. When you go to God with a need, and when you go to God and ask for a blessing, what He's going to come back and ask you to do to prepare is not going to make sense. It ain't. Pardon my English, but it's good preaching. It ain't going to make sense. Because what God is going to ask you to do is going to go against all human reasoning. What God is going to ask you to do is to, you could not sit down and with man wisdoms prescribe the course of action that God's going to ask you to take because it doesn't make sense. In fact, in most cases, it'll be just the opposite of what the world says to do. But God says, I want to bless you. Will you trust me? And will you be obedient in what I tell you to do? I want to bless you. And I know we pray and pray and pray and pray, but we never dig the ditch. We never barrel the pot. We never go jump in the river. And again, I'm just using those examples. We ask God to bless us, but we never take the necessary steps to prepare for Him to bless us. And so we miss it. And so this morning I say to every Christian, what do you need? You got a God that wants to bless you. But He wants you to make preparation. And you may not understand what He asks you to do. You may even say like these, I'm sure did, boy, this sure don't make sense to me. Just be obedient. Just trust God. He knows what He's doing. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give Jesus a chance this morning. You've tried everything else, like we talked about in Sunday school, to find purpose in your life and peace in your life and joy in your life. And I want to tell you something. The world doesn't have anything that'll help you find it. You were made to fellowship with God. You were made to have a relationship with God. Your sin keeps you from doing that, and Jesus is the only thing that will take care of that sin and restore that relationship. This morning, I'm asking you in with simple faith to believe this book, to believe this church, and to believe this preacher that we're telling you the truth. That's what faith is. If you knew it were true, you wouldn't need faith. But you need faith, and God's given you faith. He's given every single person enough faith to believe what this book says about Jesus. Would you exercise it this morning? Would you just trust Jesus and Him alone to save you? Father, thank you for the truth that's in this book. Thank you that it's so simple that even a little child can understand it. And I pray, Father, for those that are in this room that don't know Jesus, I pray today would be the day that they make that decision to receive Him. I pray for Christians that are here. We've trusted Christ for our salvation. I pray, Father, we'd learn to trust Him for our lives. Just bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help each person to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.